are watched and critiqued. Where popcorn is popped and buttered. Where fountain sodas are drank and refilled. LineupMedia.fm presents 10-time Oscars watcher Blake Bamber in Grab Your Popcorn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Grab Your Popcorn. I am your host, Blake Bamper. If you're listening, you're listening to us through lineupmedia.fm. Be sure to check us out online, lineupmedia.fm. We've got several podcasts, including this one. You know, we've got podcasts for Armenian culture, parenting with food allergies, large variety. So something for everybody over at lineupmedia.fm. Right now, this is Grab Your Popcorn, the spoiler-free movie review podcast. So just sit back and listen, and we're going to tell you what's what with a couple of these new movies that have come out. Today, we've got three movies we're going to review. First one's Detroit, then we'll get on to The Dark Tower. And then I actually had my producer, Brian, credit to producer Brian, hooked me up with passes to an early screening of Annabelle Creation, so I was pretty excited to review that one, and we'll get to that later in the show. We're going to start off with a new segment that I call Real News, R-E-E-L, news, like a film reel. Get it? I'm punny. But yeah, so we're just going to go over some news in the world of cinema. On Tuesday, Disney announced the intent to pull all of their movies and TV shows from Netflix in 2019. And they're seeking to create their own streaming service. One analyst remarked, Netflix is at the mercy of content owners and can only secure its future and justify its valuation if it successfully develops compelling, owned, original content. Now, Netflix, as we know, is really good at creating their own original content. They've done great jobs with series such as House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, Stranger Things, you know, just to name a few. And they're starting to take more steps to create and own all of their content. They just acquired a comic book company by the name of Miller World. It's a comic book company like Marvel or DC, but with some lesser-known properties. They own properties like Wanted, Kick-Ass, and Kingsman, all three of which have been turned into their own movies. Also with 15 other properties that have never been adapted for TV or film. So it'll be very interesting to see what Netflix does with those properties. There's speculation that they could, you know, obviously use them to create their own original content, but also that they might attempt to use some of these Miller World properties to create their own cinematic universe, kind of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the new developing DC Cinematic Universe. So we'll see how that works out. That could definitely turn into some very, very, very good original content coming from Netflix. They seem to hit it out of the park. And so now that they've just acquired more properties, it'll be fun to see what they're able to do with that. Some Wall Street analysts, though, are worried about Netflix, and some have said that their shares could be cut in half in just the next 12 months. And while they did take a 4% dip after Disney's announcement, Netflix still enjoys a $74 billion valuation, and this won't kick in until 2019, so they have a full 2 years to really plan ahead and figure out what they're going to do once all of Disney's content is pulled. So watch all the Disney content you can on Netflix while it's still there, because in 2019, yoink, Disney's going to have their own streaming service that we're all just going to have to pay for, I guess. So great, just another streaming bill if we didn't already have enough. And then in other real news, internet company Mr. Skin turned 18 years old today. Mr. Skin is an internet repository company of mainstream screen nudity. Basically, on their site, you can find out which parts of which films feature nudity. And by celebrating, they erected a pretty funny billboard high above Hollywood Boulevard. It reads, "Dear Hollywood, you've made 43,412 nude scenes for film and TV, all featured on this billboard. And so they have them, all the scenes right there on the billboard. Of course, so tiny that you can't see them. But, I mean, you get the point. It's pretty funny. Mr. Skin really gained popularity in 2007 after the film Knocked Up. In the film, for some of you who don't remember, Seth Rogen and his friends were trying to create a site that basically does the same thing that Mr. Skin does, until they find out that Mr. Skin had already beaten them to the punch. The CEO, Jim McBride, called that, quote, the second best product placement of all time, right after E.T. and Reese's Pieces. And I have to agree, I had never heard of Mr. Skin before that movie, but when I saw this story pop up on my computer, I immediately remembered, you know, their role in that movie Knocked Up, how Mr. Skin basically ruined their whole business idea. So that does it for real news for this episode. We're going to move on to some movie reviews. First, we have Detroit. Now, Detroit is a movie about racial tensions going on in the city of Detroit in the summer of 1969. So the synopsis of this film, in the summer of 1967, rioting and civil unrest starts to tear apart the city of Detroit. 2 days later, a report of gunshots prompts the Detroit police, the Michigan State Police, and the Michigan Army National Guard to search and seize an annex of the nearby Algiers Motel. Several policemen started to flout procedure by forcefully and viciously interrogating guests trying to get a confession, and by the end of the night, three unarmed men were gunned down while several others were brutally beaten. This is the case of the Algiers Motel incident, for some people who don't know, and the movie also follows through with the subsequent trial. And this movie just does a great job of putting a big spotlight on the injustices that took place in this incident, as well as other incidents like it around the city. You know, to me, this movie was absolutely heart-wrenching. I mean, I'm sitting in the theater, and I felt sad and disgusted as an American that things like this happened here in the United States. You know, it's just shocking, very shocking film. And the cast in this movie does a great job of bringing that to life. You have some great actors, John Boyega from Star Wars Episode 7, Will Poulter, who fans might recognize as one of the main antagonists in The Maze Runner. He was also the fake son in We're the Millers. He's got kind of the real hookish eyebrows, Will Poulter does. And then we have Anthony Mackie, who plays Falcon in several Marvel movies, as well as Martin Luther King Jr. in the movie All the Way with Bryan Cranston. So these three, as expected, when you hear big names like John Boyega and Anthony Mackie, you know that they're going to deliver a good performance, and they absolutely knocked it out of the park with this one. I didn't expect much from Will Poulter. He's not really one of my favorite actors, but he really shined in this role. I was pretty pleasantly surprised by how well, you know, he was able to make this role of the oppressive police officer come to life. And then, you know, we also have some great supporting actors. John Krasinski played his role, better known as Jim from The Office. He was kind of doing some shady things in this movie, so it was tough to see, you know, Jim acting that way. But he puts in a great performance, as well as Hannah Murray, who plays Gilly in the popular TV show Game of Thrones. That was kind of funny for me to see her, you know, running around in this movie. I'm just like, that's Gilly. What are you doing? But no, it was really great, and the supporting cast really delivered very solid performances, and the stars of this movie really got the whole tone set through the whole kind of. The shock value of this film was just really great. A really great film. This was a story that needed to be told, and the writers, directors, everyone did a great job of making this story come to life and putting it on film in a way that would shock people. But also, since it's a movie, you know, it aims to entertain, but definitely a shocking piece of cinema that really everyone should see if you don't really get why we kind of need more racial equality in this country and why, you know, it just shows we're not that far removed from some things like this happening. I mean, like I said, this was 1967, so not that long ago. But I'm going to go ahead and give Detroit 4 out of 5 buckets. I liked it a lot. 4 buckets. So grab your popcorn and definitely go see this one. Now moving on, we have The Dark Tower, the adaptation of the Stephen King novel, come to the big screen after many years of anticipation from fans. The synopsis for this film, Roland Deschain, played by Idris Elba, is the last gunslinger. He's locked in an eternal battle with Walter O'Dim, played by Matthew McConaughey, also known as the Man in Black. The gunslinger must prevent the Man in Black from toppling the Dark Tower, the key that holds the entire universe together. With the fate of both worlds at stake, these two men collide in the ultimate battle between good and evil. And caught in this battle is young Jake Chambers, played by Tom Taylor, kind of a fledgling actor still getting his first few roles. I believe I looked it up. He only has 6 credits in films before this, but he really was, you know, the star of this movie, and he did as good of a job as you can expect from child actors. But his character has been having visions of a world beyond his own, where he sees the gunslinger and the Man in Black doing battle. So, as I said, this movie was first a Stephen King novel, and fans of Stephen King have been waiting for this one to make it to the big screen for a while. This movie really saw mixed reviews, and I kind of understand some of the complaints, but I know Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 18%, and usually I kind of agree with them, but I had to disagree on this one. I did not think it was nearly as bad as they said it was. I mean, the actors really, really sell their characters well to the audience. Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey are great actors, you know, as expected. I really, really liked Matthew McConaughey in this villainous role here. I thought he did an absolutely exceptional job. And the story was somewhat predictable, but, you know, I liked it. It's filled with some smaller surprises that kind of hit you out of left field a little bit. And it has layers and layers of fantasy to it, which gives the audience an enjoyable experience kind of trying to figure out what's going on in this whole greater universe that this movie's created beyond our own world. And, you know, it makes for a really good overall plot and a very fun narrative for moviegoers. You know, like I said, overall predictable, but it didn't stop us from giving the fewer smaller surprises, you know. But the smaller surprises that they kind of, smaller elements of unpredictability that they threw in there, didn't really have an overall effect on the larger plot like you usually would enjoy in movies that have certain twists in them. But I liked it. I thought this was a good experience at the cinema. Whenever I go to the movies, I just want to have fun watching the movie. And I thought that this movie really delivered a lot of fun. So I'm going to go ahead and give it 3 out of 5 buckets. Don't care what any of the other critics say. 3 out of 5 buckets. That's the official rating. And definitely grab your popcorn and go see this one in theaters. It is absolutely worth it, especially if you like, you know, those two actors, Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. Now, as I said, I had the chance to go to an early screening of the new movie Annabelle Creation. Former toy maker Sam Mullins and his wife Esther are happy to welcome a nun and 6 orphaned girls into their California farmhouse. Years earlier, the couple lost their 7-year-old daughter Annabelle, wink wink, that's the evil ghost, in a tragic car accident. Terror soon strikes when one of the girls finds a seemingly innocent doll that seems to have a life of its own. This is another movie in line with the Conjuring series. We know there's The Conjuring 2, and then before this movie there was Annabelle, and now Annabelle Creation. They also have 3 more movies that are already planned for the series. The Nun, set to come out in 2018, and The Conjuring 3 and a movie called The Crooked Man, which are both still TBA. Now, I'm not a huge horror movie guy. Whenever I go to the theater, I feel like I have a pretty good ability to kind of suspend my disbelief and just really jump in with both feet. So, you know, those big moments in horror movies where something just kind of turns and jumps out at you, never been a huge fan because I always get scared. I always jump halfway out of my seat. And this movie certainly had some of these big moments like that, but there were certain moments where you were supposed to be scared, and it ends up coming off as just straight up comedic. There were several people in the theater I was in laughing at certain parts that I thought were supposed to be scary. Certain parts where something's about to jump out at you were just very predictable. And they had kind of been, and I guess that's a little bit difficult when you're doing a horror movie in a series, trying to be unpredictable, but there's something to be said for the level of predictability that some of these scenes really had. And I know that in horror movies, the characters are certainly just dumber than, you know, baseline human beings. I mean, you can certainly see people, oh, don't go in the basement, don't open that closet, you're gonna die. That's every horror movie. Or, oh no, I've fallen while I'm running away from the killer and I broke my leg. Like, oh yeah, sure, because the plot just needed that to happen. And usually in horror movies, I can kind of live with that to a certain degree, but this movie just felt like, I mean, some parts, the characters were being straight up nonsensical and, you know, just doing extremely stupid things to the point where I threw my hands up and almost laughed out loud. And there were certain elements of the plot to this that just did not make sense. Of course, we're doing spoiler-free here, so I can't really tell you, but I mean, trust me, there's just a few very strange plot points that don't really seem to line up. And I, for that reason, I wasn't a huge fan of this one. Talitha Bateman and Lulu Wilson play our two main characters, and like I said with Tom Taylor in The Dark Tower, these two kind of did, you know, as good of a job as you can expect from child stars. But I thought Talitha Bateman did exceptionally well. You know, she might have a pretty bright career ahead of her with the acting chops she displayed in here. But, you know, obviously with any scary movie, you're going to go in, you suspend your disbelief a little bit, jump in with both feet, and you can really get scared by some of the parts in these movies. I had a pretty good time with this one. I enjoyed it to a certain degree while I was in the theater. But, you know, if you're watching this movie either for the second time or somewhere at home, you would realize that certain elements of it are just kind of stupid. But, you know, at the theater, it is a relatively good experience because you get all the loud noises and everything like that making you jump out of your seat. So I will go ahead and I'll say this film was, it wasn't great. It wasn't really even good, but it wasn't terrible. I'll give it 2 out of 5 buckets. So we had the 4-3-2 today. We had 4 buckets for Detroit, 3 for The Dark Tower, and 2 for Annabelle Creation. That will do it for today's episode of Grab Your Popcorn. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll have more real news for you, as well as reviews of any of these movies that are coming out. So, yeah, that does it for us. Until next time, I'm your host, Blake Bamford.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.